The Eskimo Storyteller, Folk Tales from Noatak, Alaska, was written by Edwin S. Hall, Jr., and with a few drawings by Claire Freakage. Folk Tales. Paul Monroe, first story he told in his book. Nakun and Kuveyuk. Around here there were two old people. They went up the Noatak River, close to the headwaters, and there they stopped for overnight. The next day, the man went hunting. He hunted all day until it finally got dark, but there was moonlight. This was in winter time. They were traveling by dog team. The man was out all night. He walked and walked in the moonlight. Finally, he saw another man walking, and though he looked at him, the other man didn't see him. The other man was pulling something. It was a seal. It was soft and it wiggled as he pulled it over the soft ground. The first man went behind the man with the seal. He walked behind him for a while and then stepped on the seal's slipper. The other man didn't look back because he thought it was a willow catching the seal. The quick pull almost made him stumble. The first man stepped on the flipper again, but harder this time, and the other man really almost fell. The third time, he stepped on the flipper, the other man really pulled, and finally he fell down. He got up, but he didn't look back or turn back. He took his belt off and flipped backwards with it. The first man moved back a little, so he just felt the end of the belt on his forehead. If he hadn't moved back, he would have been killed. Then the man with the seal started walking again. The other man got scared and went home. The man who made fun was called Nakun. The people near the Noatak headwaters were just like invisible people. They moved so fast. People could not even see them hunting. They went so fast. That's why they got so many seals. That's why the seal in the story wasn't frozen. It is 150 miles from the Noatak headwaters to the sea. Nakun and the younger brother were on the trip. The younger brother planned to go up Kobuk way, and he told Nakun, "If I reach the Kobuk someplace up there, you watch and see how the weather is, and if the sky turns kind of red, it means that I have died." They made more plans, and Nakun said, "If we live for a while, you watch the sky also. And if it turns kind of red, that means I have died." So the younger brother took off for Kobuk way. After the younger brother went, 4 years, Nakun lived and watched the sky. Finally, one day he woke up and went out. The sky was kind of reddish, so he thought to himself, "My younger brother is dead. He lived a few years more, and people noticed that when he died, the sky turned red. That's what Kuveyuk noticed when Nakun died. The boy knows about Nakun. This boy was a Napakukmi. His name was Kuveyuk. He was small when Nakun died, but he grew up to become a man. He started hunting alone and walked as far as Kengkuksuk, small tributary of Middle Norta. He always felt like hunting. He started along the little creek. It said, Kengkuksuk, and he was walking along the high ground along the creek. When he came to one point, he saw two men on the next. He stopped and they turned back so he couldn't see them. Kuveyuk started running through the flat along the creek, and when he got near the third point, he saw two little men. As he got closer to the point, he couldn't see them again, so he started walking slowly, looking around. Soon he heard someone whispering close by him, but he couldn't see anyone. There were lots of rocks around, making a shelter onto the cliff. He saw two little men there. He pretended he couldn't see them, but watched them out of the corner of his eye. He heard them say, "Gee, that man is so tall." Suddenly, he pretended to discover them and started to walk toward the rock. The two dwarfs stood up and started walking to him. While they were talking, Kvetup saw that one was a young boy with no whiskers and one was older with whiskers. The two little men asked Kvetup what his name was. He answered, "Kvetup." He asked their names, "Kabuchuk and Tukliwuk." This was the answer. Then the dwarf asked him, "Where is Nukun?" Kvetup answered, "When I was a boy, I remember that Nukun died. The dwarf said that they met Nukun up there when he was a young boy." Kvetup started thinking that he just heard that some little men were tough and liked to fight. Just then, as if he knew what Kvetup was thinking, one of the little men said, "Us, we can't fight. We don't try to scare people." Then he said, "Let me see your bow and arrow." So Kvetup gave it to him. The bowstring was tight, but the little man could pull it easily. Then the little man said, "Now give me your arrow." It was a long arrow, as long as Kvetup's arm. The little man said, "This arrow is too long. It won't even kill an animal, but will break if it hits something." The little man wants to try the arrow with his own bow. When he does, the arrow breaks in two in the air. Then the little man gave Kvetup his bow and arrow. And Kvetup tried, but he couldn't even pull the string. It was so tight. The dwarf tried it, and Kvetup didn't even know he had fired the arrow. The little man did it so swiftly. The dwarf said, "We take you to our home, but one of our chief sons just died, and we wouldn't like to have strangers around. Their home is the highest point of Mimun Yivitz Mountains, northeast of Notak Rilich." They talked for a while further and decided to all go home. They parted and went home. The little man said that they met Nukun when they were young. When Kvetup got home, he told people that these little men must never get old, because Nukun was real old when he died, and that was when Kvetup was young. The young men were called Yukakaligut. This is also about Kvetup. He got married. After a while, his wife died. The people he was with started staying in the trees somewhere across the present village of Noatak. One fall, they started seeing Inyukuns. Kvetup planned with the other men that they should go up a little ways from the village and cut some trees. They did so. Kvetup told the men, "Don't watch for anything. Just cut trees. I'll watch." There was a tree close by with branches clear to the ground, and he crawled inside there to watch. It was daytime. They were cutting trees, and he was watching. He said, "I see some men over there. Don't watch. Just keep cutting trees." Pretty soon he did. "They are getting closer." Then, "They are getting closer. They are getting ready to shoot with their bows and arrows. They are standing all in a row. Don't worry. Keep working. I'll take care of it." Just when they were getting ready to shoot, Kvetup ran out towards them. Surprised, they ran away. He had nothing except a short knife. He kept running after them through the willows. Pretty soon they jumped over a bank. He stopped on the top because he was afraid that they might be waiting for him underneath with their bows and arrows. Tuaduk's crew went home. After they slept, they went to that bank to search and found nobody, just a lot of broken arrows about. Going a little further along the bank, they saw the men. Tuaduk went up to them and told them to go home and not to bother the Napaktu meet. He recognized some men. They were from the Kobuk. So the Napaktu meet didn't see any more Inyapuns, the end. The raven and the white fox. There were a lot of people living somewhere at the coast. They had a karigi. A raven and a white fox always stayed in this karigi. In this village, there were five children, three older brothers, one sister, and a younger brother, all in one family. Men would come from all over the villages to try to marry the girl. She didn't want to get married. The younger brother hunted, and every time he came home with a load, the older brother didn't hunt. Instead, every night he had anaktak. The younger brother didn't play, he hunted. One night, when there were no more people in the karigi, the raven said to the white fox that they should try to get the girl. The white fox said to the raven, "As if you could get her when all those men couldn't." After they all went to sleep, the raven melted anak, and when it melted, he put it in the girl's path. He woke her up, and she saw he was going to tell all the men that go after her that she has dirt in her pants. He's going to tell all this if she doesn't get married to him. So finally she married him. Then she becomes pregnant and they had a baby boy. The younger brother always goes hunting early in the morning. The raven figured to hunt, so his wife started to make mukluks. She sewed the bottoms and then sewed them up. After he hunted, the raven came home with holes in the bottoms of his mukluks. Every time he came home this way, she kept sewing new bottoms. One man in the village looked every day at a pile of rocks. When the raven left to go hunting again, he went towards the rocks and the man watched him. He shuffled his feet when he went through the rocks to let his mukluks have holes again. The raven wanted to go hunting earlier than the younger brother, but he could never catch him. One time he really tried to go first. When he got to the open water, the boy already had one seal. When he got there, the raven said, "Let me have your seal." The younger brother answered, "It's mine. I got it." The raven said, "Let me have it." They started fighting. The younger brother got weak and the raven threw him in the water. After the raven threw him in, he heard somebody behind him yell, "What are you doing with that boy? Why did you throw him in the water?" The raven turned around and he saw the white fox. The raven told him, "Don't tell the other brothers about it. That baby of mine is yours if you don't tell about it." The raven went home with the seal and the fox didn't tell. The boy didn't come home. The brothers and the other men started hunting for him on the land and on the ice, but they couldn't find him. In the summertime, they looked along the beach. The white fox wanted to tell them, but he was scared of the raven. They gave up looking in the fall. The brother had nothing to hunt for them. They gave up looking for the boy's body, started the karigi again and start games. The raven and the white fox were there. The karigi had benches all around the walls. People sat on the benches and on the floor below them. They were having games and the raven's partners lost. When this happened, the raven's partner began singing songs. Each man sang alone in turn, the leader singing last. The white fox's partner sang after the raven's partners got through. The man behind the white fox singing. The man behind the white fox began singing. The raven and the white fox were on different sides. Raven told the white fox, "If you start singing, sing everything you think about. Sing all you think." The fox started singing. "My idiot and the boy were hunting. So the boy got a seal. When the raven gets to that boy, he got the seal. He killed that boy. When I got there, the boy was in the water already. I was scared of my idiot. I was scared to tell. My idiot gave his son to me." After the white fox sang, the three brothers jumped up from where they were sitting and tore the raven up. Then they gave the little boy to the white fox so the white fox could help him. Stop. On the river lived a man, his wife, and one son. Farther up the river is a village. The son always hears that there's a man someplace with fire. People of the village farther upriver always went to that man to get fire, but they never came home. The son thinks to himself, "I wonder how they go to get fire." The son has an uncle in the village. His uncle had kids. The son went over to his uncle and spoke with him and tried to find out where the man with fire is. He keeps asking people where the man with fire is, but nobody can tell him because the people who went to get fire never returned. The son always keeps asking the older people where the man with fire stays, but they don't know. One time the son starts talking with a really old man, and the really old man tells him that the man with fire is way over there someplace real far. The old man showed him the trail to reach the man with fire. When the son found out about the trail, he left in fall time along this trail. He traveled all fall and all winter. He'd stop and then go. He traveled more in summer, and the next fall and the next winter he traveled. He'd stop and go. In the second summer, he traveled and got close to the place where the man told him about, but he couldn't see it. 3 years he traveled, and after 3 years in the summer, he began to recognize the place the old man told him about. He traveled that summer and came to a river and went down to the beach. When he went down to the beach, he looked around and thinks that according to what the man told him, the man with fire is across the river. He looked around and saw big rocks in a line far apart in the river, going across the river. So the son thinks, "Maybe if I can take long steps, I can make it across." After he saw the rocks, he jumped from one rock to another and this way went across. After he went across, he walked up towards the hill. On the way, he saw some old bows and arrows that belonged to the men who had tried to get fire before. He kept walking up to the top of the hill. When he got to the top, he saw another hill far off, and in the valley between the hill where he stood and the other hill was a house. He saw a man go out from the house, so the son hid on the hill. When that man went out from the house, he looked around, and the son was hiding. Then the son thought to himself, "I won't get to the house if I stay a boy." So he used his amulet hanging around his neck and became a squirrel. When he became a squirrel, he went between niggerheads, and while he's going, he thinks to himself, "I wonder how far I've gone." So he puts his head up to look. He saw that the man had gone out from the house again and was looking around, so the squirrel put his head down again. The man went back inside the house after looking around. The squirrel got close to the house. When that man went in, the squirrel started going between the niggerheads again,
And then that man went out again and looked around. Then he went back in again. The squirrel stopped and thought to himself, "I'm not going to that house with a squirrel." So he used his amulet again and became a piece of duck down. When it became a piece of duck down, the wind wouldn't come right away, so he stayed where he was. Soon the wind came and blew him through the air. The wind blew him everywhere, all over. Pretty soon he landed in front of the house. When he landed in front of the house and a man with a in the house came out, he used his amulet once more and became a boy again. That man still didn't go out, so the son waited outside for a while. He never heard a noise, so he went up to the window and opened it. When he opened the window and looked down, he saw the man sitting by the inside door facing the storm shed door. He had fire in his lap. The boy, looking down through the window, wonders to himself about why his parents gave him two little dolls he has inside his parka. He takes them out and stands them up in the window. The two dolls start dancing around in the window, dancing around real lively all over. The man who was sitting with fire in his lap knows the two dolls are up there and says, "Go ahead, dance. Dance really lively." The son went to the door while the dolls were dancing and went in. When he went in, he saw the man with fire looking up towards the window at the dolls dancing. While the man was looking at the dolls in the window, the son took the fire from his lap and ran out with it. He kept running to the hill and down the hill. When he got close to the rocks on which he had crossed, he looked back and saw that man running after him. The man said, "You think you'll live? I'll kill you if I catch you." The son jumped the rocks across the river again. When the son went across, he looked back and saw the man had stopped because he couldn't jump the rock. The man said, "You share that fire with other people since I can't get it back." The son started going home. He went home after 3 years, same as it had taken him to get there, and it was fall when he got home. When he reached his uncle's village, he went to his uncle's house and shared the fire with him. He then went home to his parents, and that's how they started having fire. That boy took the fire home. The end. This is another story from Folk Tales. The Jade House. There were people living on the Kobuk River between Kayana and Narvik. A young rich man and his wife lived there. They had their first baby, a boy. In a year or so, the wife got pregnant again and died in labor. The rich man took all the household things to the grave so that the house was empty except for the little boy. When the man had taken everything up to the grave, he went up and lay by his wife's side. He stayed there, got skinny, and died. The little boy stayed in the house with no bedding or food. The other people of the village couldn't go in and help him. He cried all the time. All winter the boy stayed in that house, hungry and with no bedding. After a while he started going out and eating the crumbs left after the other people had eaten. All spring he ate other people's leavings. In the summertime when they started fishing, he went to people and ate from where they cut fish. He got stronger and when it was warm. In the fall time he still had no place to stay. He heard about the people in Tuklumurk, below Narvik. He went to them, but they wouldn't let him stay with them. He found a place under a tree and stayed there. In the evening, he would cry. One evening, he sat with his head down, lonesome, cold, and hungry. Finally, he lifted his head and looked out. Straight ahead of him, he saw a house he hadn't seen before. He went over. When he got close, a boy about the same age came out. The boy had no arm on one side. He said, "Let's go in," and took the boy in to his parents. He said, "A lot of food." He looked around and saw the other boy's clothing hanging there, parkas with no arms on one side. The man of the house said, We know that you have been suffering and having a hard time. This boy with no arm is your young brother, the one that killed your mother. If you eat things from here, you are going to become invisible like us. But if you go from here and walk farther down, you will find your grandmother and cousin. They are at a serena, a mountain above Nervik toward the south side. If you go down there, there's a boy who will run towards you. The boy went out from there and followed the trail that the man had told him about. When he got to the trees, a boy came running to meet him. He was a small boy like him, and when the boy got close, he said, "Let's go live with my grandmother up there." They went into the house. He started eating. When he found out that he and the boy were cousins, he stayed with them. When the boy got big, the grandmother said, "You boys should build a better house. You should build a jade house." She ate all day, just kept eating. They slept in the morning. They slept, and in the morning she got them ready to go. She said, "Go get some jade so that you can make your house. When you get on the sled and go, don't open your eyes until you land." They went, using her jaws for a sled. They got on the jaw sled, closed their eyes, and left. When they landed, they opened their eyes and found they were on Jade Mountain, north of the Kobuk River. They loaded up their sled, closed their eyes, and ended up at home. They went back to Jade Mountain again. While they were loading their sled this time, the Jade Man found out that they were there. They got in the sled and went home, never going back. They made a jade house. When the grandmother got old, she died. Before she died, she said, "If you plan to leave the house, break it down because people might fight over it." The boys lived there a while, then decided to move downriver. They broke up the house and went downriver where they built a new house. This one was not of jade. The end. This is the picnic. There were people at Cape Prince of Wales. Among them was a grandmother and her grandson. The grandson was old enough to hunt. They always saw men go out hunting and bringing different kinds of animals home, including foxes. He asked his grandmother, "How do they get white and red foxes?" His grandmother said, "They always make a pit deep enough for a fox to fall in so he can't climb out. If you're going to make one, don't put it where there is a trail where people might step. Put it farther away." The grandson made a trap, and every time he went to see it, he got wool. After he got 10, his grandmother wanted him to make his trap a little differently. He changed it and got another kind of animal than wool. Every time he fixed it a little differently, he caught a different kind of animal. Finally, he caught all the different kinds of animals that walked. When he got enough, he made an icky good put the animals on top. He moved his trap down to the ocean and started getting all kinds of sea animals. He brought them up to the Ikegut. The last time he went to see the trap, he saw a pair of legs with black and white mukluks sticking out of it. He saw that it was a girl. He took her out of the trap and took her home. He waited until she got healthy and then married her. The grandson became a rich man from his catch. When he got to be middle-aged, he died. That kind of trap is called picnic. That trap is like that. It lets people get rich, and then they die when they get middle-aged. Another man took that grandson's place and married the woman. He hunted with the trap and got rich. When he was middle-aged, he died. Another man married that woman, and the same thing happened. And this has been happening forever. The end. Hunting elephants. A man was out hunting in the summertime. He camped by a creek for overnight. He saw an elephant, mammoth, coming from upstream, closely followed by a dog with its mouth up to its ears. Following them were two men.